Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today, we're diving into Mastercard's second quarter 2026 results, and there's a lot to unpack. Big numbers, a leadership shakeup, and some fascinating moves into AI-driven commerce.
Yeah, this one's got a bit of everything. But before we get into it.
Right, quick disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Good. Now let's get into it. Mastercard posted net revenue up 12% year over year, adjusted net income up 16%, and EPS of $5.04. That's a strong quarter, and honestly, it came in above what management was expecting.
It really did. And one number that jumped out to me, value-added services, that's all the fraud, security, and consulting stuff Mastercard layers on top of its payments network, grew 18%. That's outpacing the core payments business by a good margin.
Which tells you where the growth engine really is right now. Gross dollar volume worldwide was up 8%, cross-border volume up 12%, and switch transactions. That's transactions actually processed on Mastercard's network. Grew 9%. All pretty healthy.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room first, though, the leadership transition. This was CFO Sachin Mehra's last earnings call in that role. He's moving to a new position as Chief Business Officer. Ling Hai, who's been running the Asia-Pacific, Europe, Middle East, and Africa region, steps in as CFO starting August 3rd.
It was a pretty warm moment on the call, honestly. CEO Michael Miebach thanked Mehra for 7-plus years in the seat, and Mehra himself got a little sentimental, thanking analysts and investors for the relationship. Ling Hai even said he's looking forward to leading the next earnings call.
Smooth transition, no red flags, just feels like normal succession planning at a company that's performing well.
Agreed. Now, strategically, there were a few things I found really interesting. First, this switching technology partnership in the UAE. Mastercard is now building out the actual domestic payments, switching infrastructure for the central bank of the UAE, working alongside their local scheme called J1.
Which is a bit of a shift, right? Normally, we think of Mastercard as just the network sitting on top of transactions. Here, they're actually building and operating switching infrastructure locally.
Exactly. Miebach called it run anything anywhere. A strategy they've been building since 2022. They've done something similar in South Africa, and they're clearly eyeing this modular approach as a way to get access to transaction volume they wouldn't otherwise touch, even domestic transactions that don't run through Mastercard's global switch.
There's also a Latin America push, expanding their Alipay Plus partnership into Mexico with Clip, a fintech with a huge merchant network. Remember, Mexico is a market where over 70% of consumer payments are still cash-based, so there's a massive digitization opportunity there.
And speaking of frontier stuff, Mastercard rolled out something called Agent Pay for Machines. This is genuinely new territory. It's designed to let AI agents autonomously pay for things like API calls, cloud compute, or data access at machine speed, with over 30 partners already signed on including Coinbase, Cloudflare, and Checkout.com.
This is the agentic commerce trend everyone's talking about. Miebach made an interesting distinction on the call. Consumer and B2B agent-driven purchases can basically run through existing card rails just fine. But this true machine-to-machine, microtransaction world is a genuinely new category, and Mastercard wants to own the protocol for it.
They're also leaning into stablecoins. Though carefully, they expect to close their acquisition of BVNK, a crypto infrastructure company, this quarter, and they've got this Open USD initiative launching later this year with over 140 companies involved. But Miebach was clear stablecoins are additive, not a replacement. His view is cards still win because you need protections, global acceptance, and a way back in a fiat currency.
One of my favorite exchanges was around cybersecurity demand. An analyst basically asked, given how hot cybersecurity is right now, what's the upside for you? And Maybacka's answer was pretty compelling. Mastercard's threat intelligence product, built on their Recorded Future acquisition, has already identified over 7 million card testing fraud attempts across 192 countries in its first three quarters, preventing an estimated $172 million in fraud.
That's real, tangible value creation, not just a buzzword pivot. And it connects back to what they call the virtuous cycle. More transactions flowing through the network means more data, which powers better services, which then attracts more customers and transactions. It's a flywheel.
Let's touch on geography for a second, because there were some interesting regional dynamics. Cross-border volume accelerated through the quarter, and a chunk of that came from an unexpected place, Venezuela.
Yeah, that one surprised me. MasterCard deconsolidated its Venezuela operations back in 2018 because it was so hard to repatriate U.S. dollars out of the country. But apparently dollar availability has improved significantly, and consumers there are using those dollars for card-not-present cross-border spending. MasterCard is the market leader there, mostly in debit, so they're benefiting nicely.
They also called out improving conditions in the Middle East, outbound travel spending recovering faster than expected, possibly helped by increased flight capacity and maybe some World Cup tailwinds, though they were careful not to overstate that connection.
Europe was a more nuanced conversation. Purchase volume growth there has decelerated from the mid-teens down to more moderate levels. But Sachin Mehra explained that's largely a lapping effect. They won a bunch of huge portfolio deals like Santander and NatWest back in 2024, and now those wins are cycling out of the year-over-year comparison. He was also candid that MasterCard walked away from at least one deal, Lloyds Credit, when the economics didn't make sense.
That discipline point stood out to me. Mehra said something like, volume for the sake of volume isn't what this company should be chasing, and that they're prioritizing profitable growth over just grabbing market share.
Now, for guidance. Looking to third quarter, MasterCard expects net revenue growth at the high end of the low double-digit range, and they actually raised their full-year outlook slightly, driven by that strong first-half performance. Operating expense growth is also expected in the low double digits.
So the picture heading into the back half of 2026 is strong consumer and business spending holding up, some geopolitical noise they're monitoring but not overly worried about, and multiple growth levers, payments, value-added services, and these newer bets on agentic commerce and stablecoins, all firing at once.
Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Bottom line for investors, this was a genuinely strong quarter with broad-based growth, a smooth leadership handoff, and management clearly positioning the company for what they see as the next era of payments, agents, machines, and multiple forms of digital money, all transacting on MasterCard's rails.
It'll be worth watching how quickly agent pay for machines and the BVNK acquisition actually translate into revenue. But for now, the fundamentals look healthy across the board.
That's it for this episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next quarter.
See you then.